1,000 flights coming and going every business day, fanning out nonstop to over 135 cities. Covering the sky with more flights to more cities from O'Hare than any other airline. A kaleidoscopic array that could only be brought to you by United and United Express. Come fly Chicago's hometown airline. Come fly the friendly skies.
In November, there was a strange intruder in the friendly skies over the United Airlines terminal in Chicago. And now, a highly respected aviation group has released their report. The report says it definitely was there, a UFO seen by airline employees and by the public. The object was round, revolving, gray, metallic appearing, and a little under 1,900 feet above the ground level. On the program, we will explore the details and hear from the witnesses as we tell this astounding UFO event. Joining us now to talk to us on the program is MUFON Illinois State Director Sam Maranto. Welcome to the show, Sam, and why don't you tell us a little bit about this event?
That was on November the 7th, 2006, and here we had this object at 4:30 in the afternoon hovering over Concourse C-17 at O'Hare in restricted airspace, you know, Class B restricted airspace, and UAL employees reported it as a concern of safety. You know, and you have to applaud people doing that because they're actually jeopardizing, you know, their reputation in some instances as they felt. And they were put up to a series of ridicule. And the other thing is when they came forward, some of them went to the newspaper. Of course, Peter Davenport received two reports. Initially one, another one came forward. And Peter contacted the transportation writer of the Chicago Tribune, which is John Hilkovich, who broke the story in the Tribune on New Year's Day, January 1st, 2007. That story, I'd say before the ink even dried, went global on the Internet via all sorts of news wires, et cetera. And
It's gotten more publicity than almost anything.
Yes.
I have a sister who knows nothing about UFOs, and she called me right up about it.
Oh, it was
on CNN. She saw it. Tribune got the word out, and that's an interesting aspect of this case, as major media reported it without a smirk.
Yes, the media grabbed it, and there wasn't really all that much of a ridicule factor thrown into it. A little ribbing and everything else. The only ones that I would have to say that set a negative tone was on NPR National Public Radio with Melissa Block, Well, she was on, and she had asked John, did you find it unusual to talk to somebody from a UFO reporting center? And John stated yes, and that made the comment that that Peter Davenport was trying to make him say that this, you know, was from out of this world. And, you know, Peter, he would never even coax anybody into saying anything like that.
Right.
That was so out of color. I don't know why John did that, but I'll forgive him either way because he did such a great job breaking the story. The other thing is I think his tone is much different now, and he's taken this to heart, where this is genuinely a phenomena that should be addressed and should not be ignored. He filed the FOIA, which changed the a little bit of the FAA's position. And initially, they denied that anything had happened.
Right.
Same thing with UAL. So when he filed that FOIA, all of a sudden they were finding reports. Oh yes, there was a report here. Here and then the FAA says yes, there was something here that there was some people talking about this, pilots talking about it, etc.
The report just released states that eyewitness testimony reveals the size of the saucer-shaped object as being between 22 to 88 feet in diameter. It accelerated at a steep incline, breaking through a 1,900 foot cloud base. And it left in the clouds a round hole approximately its own size that stayed there for 14 minutes. What could have caused this? a superheated object, or maybe something radiated, possibly a microwave-heated energy device. According to the FAA, nothing was detected by radar at this location at this time of day, nor was it seen from the main tower. An examination of the primary radar data supplied by the FAA confirmed this fact. Nevertheless, an FAA inbound ground controller remarked about the UFO. He did this a few seconds before 4 p.m. Soon, the mainstream media would get a hold of this story. John Hilkovich of the Chicago Tribune broke it on New Year's Day, in the Trib itself. Later on, Hilkovich did some more investigations, and the story began to get, as they say, legs. Here, we listen to Jim Wagner of the Tribune TV news channel, talking with reporter Hilkovich.
Believe it or not, UFOs have been spotted over O'Hare. Chicago Tribune transportation writer John Hilkovich joining us from the Tribune Tower with more on this exclusive story now. And John, these are credible professionals that saw what they saw back in November, correct?
Yeah, they sure are, Jim. About a dozen of them, from ramp workers, maintenance workers, even pilots, on November 7th saw this disc-shaped object floating above the C concourse of United Airlines at O'Hare, very low in the sky. It was still daylight, very distinct. Didn't look like an airplane, a helicopter, or anything else they've seen. And they have reported this both to their airline and to the FAA.
And these career professionals are telling you, John, that they in no way would they ever play games that could affect the lives of some hundreds of thousands of people that fly through O'Hare. This is really, they're very determined and convinced they saw what they saw.
Oh, they're completely serious about this, and they want to get to the bottom of it. And they're concerned that whatever it was, even if it was some kind of military craft or something else, that it be identified because it could pose a safety hazard. They went on the record with their airline and the FAA, giving their names. Mm-hmm. And certainly they were not hoaxing anybody. They just want to get an explanation, if at all possible.
So what did the FAA say?
Well, the FAA at first denied it when I called them, saying, we don't know what you're talking about. I put in a Freedom of Information request, and then when the FAA went through communications tapes, they called me back and said, well, yes, actually, there was quite a bit of radio talk, and a United Airlines supervisor did call the O'Hare Tower and inquire if controllers had seen anything out of the ordinary up there. So the FAA is acknowledging that United Airlines did contact them about this, although officially United says they've checked their logs and talked to their people, and they don't know anything about this.
Incredible. Nice work, John, once again, in the articles in today's Trib.
Thank you.
If you were a government operative trying to keep the UFO story undercover, this was fast becoming a nightmare. First, the Tribune reporting it, and now CNN's Gary Tuchman is all over the story as well. He found the mechanic who saw the UFO.
Flights come to Chicago's O'Hare Airport from all over the world. But do they come from other worlds?
You don't believe this was possibly your imagination?
It was definitely not my imagination.
Joe is a mechanic for United Airlines. While taxiing a jumbo jet to the hangar, he and another mechanic
looked out the window in the general direction and noticed an object up in the sky, dark gray object sitting above the terminal complex.
Joe, which is not his real name, is one of several airport workers, some of whom have talked to the Chicago Tribune, who say they saw a saucer-shaped UFO hovering just beneath the clouds at the airport. He's the first to go on camera to talk about it since this happened several weeks ago. He wants to remain anonymous.
But you're sure it was some kind of object that normally would not be above O'Hare Airport?
I've been at O'Hare for quite some time, and let's just say that I've never seen an object in my time there that looked like this. And I'll tell you definitely it was not an airplane as we know it.
But it could be an airplane as another world knows it.
Possibly.
We brought in one of Chicago's top sketch artists.
Followed the contours of the object.
To listen to Joe and draw a picture of what he says he saw.
More of like an oval. Dark gray oval.
Because no photos have surfaced and Joe doesn't know of any.
Now it didn't say Goodyear on it, did it?
No Goodyear, no. That's a really good drawing.
Is that what it looks like?
Very much so, yeah.
Other witnesses told an organization called the National UFO Reporting Center that the object eventually shot straight up in the sky at a great rate of speed.
It looked like literally someone had poked a hole in the clouds. It's a round hole.
Joe thinks the disc is either a stealthy military project or a spacecraft from another planet. But
I find it very strange or very peculiar that somebody who possesses the technology to travel between star systems would sit over an airport in Chicago.
Hard to argue that. A spokesperson for United Airlines says, "We are aware of what the employees said they saw, but this is not something United would investigate. Talk to the FAA," says the airline. The TSA and the Chicago Department of Aviation also told us to talk to the FAA. So we did, and an FAA spokesperson told us we, too, don't have the power to investigate. The FAA adds that radar did not pick up anything out of the ordinary, and the sighting might have been caused by a weather phenomenon.
And you don't believe it was a weather phenomenon?
Not at all. Not for a minute.
O'Hare has apparently been UFO-free since that November afternoon, although Joe now tends to pay special attention to that same patch of airport sky. Gary Tuchman, CNN.
Coming up next on our program, an exclusive tape of a mystery witness all about the O'Hare UFO saga. I'm Jerry Pippin. Don't go away. The 60th anniversary Roswell Jerry Pippin Show t-shirt is now on sale. A limited amount of sizes, medium, large, and extra large, are still available. But they are going fast. This t-shirt is made of fine fabric, 100% ultra cotton. And the design of the alien skull will astound you and others around you when you wear this t-shirt for casual wear. Hurry, supply is limited. $15. Plus shipping at ShopJerryPippin.com. Welcome back to the O'Hare UFO story. The long-awaited report by Dr. Richard Haynes of NARCAP has been released, and we once again will bring into the conversation Illinois State Director of MUFON, Sam Maranto. He also investigated the incident. Tell me about NARCAP.
Well, actually, NARCAP is the National... National Aviation Reporting Center of Aerial Phenomena, and that's headed by Dr. Richard Haynes, who has a magnificent background in, as far as the aviation field, and also was a consultant for NASA. This he started some time back, and he also handled, as you recall, the Japan Airlines Alaskan case.
But this is where pilots normally report.
Yes, it's
things.
Only for pilots to make reports, mainly military or civilian.
Uh-huh.
And of course, you have a scenario. It's like police officers handling things for police officers. These are pilots handling things for pilots. And of course, they watch their reputation. They watch their
An airline doesn't want someone to think that there's disc flying around, they can't control it, from a safety issue.
Safety issue is key. And I think this is where United Airlines postured themselves to really be low-key and tell their employees, please, stand back on this issue. The reason why is in February that year, 2006, they had just came out of the largest bankruptcy in airline history. So here they are... confronted with something that could bring on a who knows what type of reaction and repercussion from the public. So would you want to put yourself in that position? I'm just looking at it from a business point of view.
Well, from a business standpoint also, they were just coming out of bankruptcy, too. That
right.
Probably had something to do with it.
Sure.
They were trying to improve their business. And
this would be questionable, though I think they could have actually played on it in a positive way.
Yeah, I do, too. Mm-hmm. I've always felt that way about it.
But. Sure. The FAA was the one that really blew it as far as looking like a bunch of chumps, really. And it's sad to say because I have extreme respect for them, but they should have handled that, I'd say, a little bit better.
So what do you draw from that? The FAA covers up all these things automatically?
I think, well, we know it's an automatic thing, it's to the point now it's getting beyond obvious. Here you have them saying it's lenticular clouds, weather phenomena. A lenticular cloud would be unable to actually manifest itself in that type of a weather mm-hmm. environment that day. We had a low ceiling. We had a maximum speed of wind of 5 miles an hour. I think the gusts at that time were even lower than that. I mean, it was at that time was relatively calm. It was a a relatively calm.
Now you got involved, and you found you were allowed to talk to somebody, or you
yes.
did it on your own.
Actually,
tell me about this.
I was asked to basically step back and
you
let
asked you to step back.
It was just we agreed
okay.
upon it, and you know Mark Rodiger
sure.
From Kufos, good friend of mine, and we always work in concert. And it was decided that this is Dr. Haynes going to be the point man on this. Let him handle it. And he did a great job. Let's see who comes forward. Let's see who he gets to talk to. Then at some point, let's just work around the periphery and find some other people, as far as witnesses. Don't want to confuse who should be talking to who with these pilots. We want to keep a straight line of communication, who's supposed to be talking to who. And
So you're telling the audience right now that this is more of a positive thing, trying to get the
certainly.
Perfect report or a better report that's closer to perfect
oh, yeah.
than having a bunch of people out there.
Oh, sure. And the other thing is the stigma of ufologists versus people who are purely scientific and scientists and have the right acronyms in back of their names to give them all the credibility in the world to evaluate this, I think adds a high degree of credence to it. So I was very happy that he did get involved. The only thing is, at this point now, we just want to finish things up. It's going to be in excess of 800 pages. The report's going to be pretty substantial from what Dr. Haynes had said. I hope my report so far, it looks like it will be in there. Again, that witness came to me from Mark Allen from Above Top Secret.
Okay.
This woman who was, I tell you the truth, I'd say she's a magnificent witness, has a background in journalism and was a reporter, was an anchor woman for a East Coast news reporting agency, and also a background in military in the sense that she was the daughter of a commander of naval aviation sector. So here he was a commander. She grew up in a military environment, mainly aviation. She knew what flies. She had the right jargon explaining things. And she was very perceptive on her analysis and very descriptive, technologically correct in how she's explaining things. So it adds huge credence.
You interviewed her extensively, I take.
Yes.
And you made a tape of it. And it's a little miniature cassette tape.
Yes.
But we're going to play it through the microphone here, and I think it'll be fine. We'll, I think we can make it sound good enough that people can understand it. And what's this first segment? What are
the
we
first
listening
segment,
to?
The woman was driving along Mannheim and Irving, as she actually states. She sees the object in the sky. She's not prodded by anybody or it isn't pointed out. It's obvious. It's standing out, in the sky. She sees it, points it out to her friend who's driving with her, and what they do is they decide to pull over and at the earliest and most convenient location, which was actually the spot where she was going to go to, which is the International Terminal, Terminal 5. And as you could hear in this segment, she describes what she sees and when she sees it.
On this particular occasion, Seth and I were going to pick up an old school friend who's a pilot for American Airlines.
Oh, wonderful.
And he does an overseas, an international route.
Did he get a chance to see this?
He didn't see it, but his plane was held up for a bit. But to see anything unusual, he said, oh, that makes sense. Well, he went on to say that pilots just next to never even report these things anymore because they nothing ends up coming of it, and they're really under some amount of pressure not to talk about such things. And he's you just wouldn't.
But I didn't know what was it you saw.
At the point when I first saw it, it was straight ahead of me, slightly to the left, and just sitting there. And it had this odd quality about it as far as its reflectivity. Didn't in any way look like a plane. It seemed very much to absorb and take on the colors of its surroundings, like the top of it really... You could tell it was independent of the sky, but it did kind of absorb the sky. The bottom of it not only was shadowed, but it looked like to some extent it was reflecting the darker ground. But so from more underneath, really looked a dark gray, and you saw it more from a side angle. It had this almost opalescent effect. It's so hard to describe. There's not a material I can think of that really looks like. I even wondered, well, my first reaction is this is metallic, but then I had this moment where I was like, maybe it's ceramic of some sort, because it had this almost fuzzy, opalescent quality to it. Not mirror-like reflective, yet able to reflect, but it didn't seem like a mirror-like metallic hard metal surface. It was awful because I have to say when I saw the purported cell phone photograph,
yes,
I had to say that really looked like the thing. I knew I was seeing it at an angle. Well, what I did when I saw it from the road, I was like, oh my God, we gotta get to the parking lot really quickly. And at first my friend didn't see it then, but it got to the point where she saw it too. She's like, oh my God, we've gotta get to a parking place really quickly. So we just cut over towards the international terminal and then parked at the first place we could park.
So where did you interview her?
Actually, interviewed her on the phone. My next interview was going to be in person for a video interview that I was going to put together part of a documentary. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to contact the woman, or I should say she hasn't been returning my calls, since November 22nd was the last time I spoke to her. She had some health issues, and this was a major concern of both I and Mark. Mark being the person who introduced me. And again, this is Mark Allen from AboveTopSecret.com, an excellent site, by the way.
Yeah, we know Mark fairly well. I've talked to him several times.
He was the one who put me in touch with her, and also Linda Moulton Howe actually interviewed her, too.
Sam, we have an email here from Linda Moulton Howe, and she says that she stayed in touch with this witness. But the reason the witness probably hasn't returned the calls, I'm paraphrasing this now, but Linda says that the witness basically told her that she'd said all she wants to say, and she's going to wait till other people come forward, other witnesses. On Linda Moulton Howe's earthfiles.com, she has great details on the au pair story. We'd recommend you going over and looking at it. We have quite a few details to come up, too, right after this break, so don't go away.
The American Southwest, a land of abandoned stagecoach stops, crumbling ghost towns, obscure, overgrown wagon trails, all ghosts of an exciting and romantic past. But amidst the hogback ridges and desolate expanses of the Four Corners region, stories float about of secrets, whispers of extraterrestrial spacecraft, intruding galactic visitors from other worlds, underground facilities, and above top secret recovery operations. Come now on a journey through this prehistoric land as we visit several locations where some of the most guarded secrets of the modern age have alleged to unfold. Along the way, we will speak with some of the most respected investigators, reporters, authors, and lecturers in the field of UFO research.
Fallen Angels, the DVD that shows the mysteries that haunt the desert Southwest. Order Fallen Angels today from shopjerrypippin.com. This is Jerry Pippin. We're continuing now with our O'Hare UFO story. and Sam Maranto is here, and we are talking about this mystery woman witness. Sam, I take it you're pretty impressed.
We feel this person is extremely credible, and she revealed quite a bit about herself, you know, and we'll keep most of her private information private until she, first of all, reappears again and comes forward the way she wanted to. And in fact, in this next segment, what she was going to be talking about is the reason why she's coming forward. And this was to prod people to realize, hey, there are people out there with photographs. Please bring them forward. We need photographic evidence. And this is that tape.
Okay, let's listen to that.
I saw it. You weren't responding to other people's reactions.
No. I did see some other people, though, on the road who obviously saw it. And, you know, it kind of like, I couldn't tell, you know, digital camera or cell phone. I'm in the middle of driving in rush hour traffic, so I couldn't really tell you if they had, you know, which. But I did see some people trying to take pictures.
Okay.
And then, you know, there were a number of people kind of looking over that way. The sad thing is most people look at your life looking for things. You know, they're not really, they're focused on the road. And so anyway, when we got into the place where we could park and got out, most people, you had to point it out to them that some people had already done that. It probably took us about 3 or 4 minutes to get to where we could park. It was still there at that point. We stood there. We pointed it out to a number of people. We ended up with a group of probably about 7 people altogether standing with us, watching it. One fellow did have a digital camera, and he was taking many pictures. That much I do know. I saw other people taking photos too. My concern is that from as far away as we were, that people with cell phone photos, for example, boy, that sucker might, I don't have a cell phone cam, but my impression is that things usually look farther away than they are through them.
Yes.
And unless you have a really good one, Zoom functions and things like that aren't that great. So it might only be a pixel or two, you know, and they might not even think they really have anything. Whereas with a good photo program, now that I've talked to Jeff and everybody, it's like, now I have some respect for what can be done.
Oh, yeah.
With photos that may not.
Saw it. You weren't responding to other people's.
We got a final little excerpt we're going to play from her. Is she a Chicago resident now or an area resident or what?
I would say within the community. I don't want to disclose exactly
where. I understand. I was just trying to find out.
Yeah, no problem. In fact, when you listen to some of her colloquially, her jargon and everything else, the way she talks, you'll see she's much of a Southeast resident, and she has some unusual, or I should say, very unique use of words that are not really improper. They're so proper, people just don't realize the extent of it. One of which, of course, she says, an awful, it is awful to say that this picture, the cell phone picture, is depicting exactly what she saw. And what she means is full of awe. This is something we were discussing, and Dr. Haynes had asked me the meaning of her term. You know, like, what did she mean by this? Because awful so many times is taken as a derogatory term.
I understand. Let's listen to that.
Oh, my God, but I really, honestly, to God, thought the thing is going to come down on that runway, and this is it. They're going to get out of there, and they're in the middle of one of the busiest airports in the world, and this is it.
Oh, my God.
And it just kind of left you really dumbfounded.
Now, see, that, just the reaction like that, and you've never experienced anything quite like that before.
I've seen, I've always been a person, and my dad trained me in this way, because he had actually had some UFO sightings when he was in the military, and he said, people just don't even report it anymore. You know, it's too much hassle. They changed the law, books, and everything.
Yeah.
You know, but he always wanted me to be astute and observant and that sort of thing. And I have seen anomalous things in the sky, and I don't say anomalous lightly. I can't identify so many different phenomena. You know, it's interesting. I even serious but lenticular clouds.
Right.
I used to do high mountain climbing.
Oh, yeah.
And I have seen a million of them.
Did you laugh when people were saying it would be
lenticular? Oh, please. Please. I'm like, yeah. Can't tell you how many lenticular clouds I've seen hovering over O'Hare and just punching a hole in the cloud cover. It just was like weather phenomenon. Excuse me, I think not. It was very obvious. It was very obviously not cloud. It was very obviously a solid object. It didn't change shape in any way. It obviously wasn't a balloon that was subject to the wind. It didn't move with the wind. This was very obviously, this was a daytime thing. This wasn't some, case of lights that look a little unusual at night or anything like that. This was just a very blatant daytime sighting. And no, it wasn't so dark that we couldn't tell what we were seeing. Not at all, not by any stretch.
Shane, we have to move on with the show. We appreciate you stopping by to talk to us about all this. People out there still have some pictures. We just haven't come up with any. Maybe somebody has some information. Is there a way to get a hold of you?
If you would like to get in contact with me, you can always call me at 708-460-7606. Again, that is 708-460-7606. Or currently what I'm doing is revamping my email, but you can get me at Julie, who handles most of my stuff, Julie Maranto, my wife. You get an email to me at Julie Maranto at Comcast.net. And that's Julie, MARANTO, like Ma Ran 2. Check out the MUFON site, the international site, which is www.mufon.com. If you'd like to file a report there, you can do it. It's very convenient. It'll be forwarded to whichever director it needs to go to. And, Jared, thank you very much.
To wrap up our report on the O'Hare UFO sighting, we present an edited for time consideration interview that an unnamed taxi mechanic gave to Jeff Rentz and Peter Davenport. A taxi mechanic is the man who moves the big planes from the ramp to the hangars and vice versa. This interview was broadcast on the Jeff Rentz Show. The mechanic tells Rentz and Davenport, as we pick up the interview, about exactly what he saw.
We were sitting in the cockpit or on the flight deck of the airplane waiting to move from one location to the other, and there were some catcalls, as there are from time to time on the radio, but one of them came out very clearly about an object that was, appeared to be floating above one of the terminals at O'Hare. As usual with the sense of humor that pilots had, there was, a few remarks, and then you could hear very clearly, no, it's right above Gate Charlie C-17, and I'm looking right at it. At that point, I was busy with the task at hand of having to move this aircraft with my partner, and at first we're like, oh, this is going to be a good one. I wonder what we're going to see. As we were moving the airplane, though, we looked up and saw what, was plain as day, although it was dusk, a gray, circular object that was hovering over the terminal complex. I'm guessing at least, 7 feet, 700-800 feet, definitely 700 feet above the ground. It was an overcast day, completely overcast. And the object was appeared to be trying to stay right at the base of the cloud cover. It was holding very steady. I didn't notice, and maybe this was the fact that we were under motion, and I had to pay attention to keeping the airplane on the taxiway. Any circular movements or what appeared, though, strange was the top of the craft was very clear outline of a dark gray material, and around the edges and the bottom of it was hazy, like you were looking through the heat reflections, like when you're driving down a road in the desert.
Interesting. Were there any lights at all on the craft?
Not that I noticed. I've seen other things over the years, and I'm used to seeing lights on airplanes every night when I'm working. There was no noticeable lights really of any kind, either reflected or part of the object. You know, it takes about, you know, O'Hare's a zoo, as most people realize, unfortunately, when you have to fly through there. It takes about 20 minutes, 25 minutes to move from one side of the airport to the other. So by the time we got to our hangar complex on the other side of the airport and looked back, unfortunately, it was gone, but there was a hole in the overcast. I mean, it looked like someone had literally punched a hole right through the clouds.
Wow.
And I'm like, you know, this is incredible. And I'm like, are we seeing things? And, you know, unfortunately, my partner's not as forthcoming as I am. He's actually, as I was telling Peter, received a fair amount of ridicule. You know, I don't care what the people have to say about what, you know, I know what I saw.
Sure.
And I know that a tremendous amount of people saw it that day. I would say that it lasted anywhere from, you know, I think almost 20 minutes, just judging from the time that the first radio call came out and then to the time that we parked our aircraft. Numerous pilots made comments about it. The ATC controllers, you know, in Chicago, they're phenomenal professionals at what they do, but they're also very abrupt when they talk to you. They made a few cat calls about, you know, follow the UFO and take the Alpha taxiway to your parking spot. No, I'm sorry, on the west side of the airport, there is a radar dish that is used to keep track of incoming air traffic.
Right.
And they, you know, they claim not to have seen it. You know, that it was, you know, I mean, some people said it was a reflection. Other people, who knows, it was not. I mean,
Could you estimate how big the hole in the overcast was relative to how big the object itself was?
I would say that it would have to be very similar in size because, I mean, when we, like I said, after we parked the aircraft and we looked back to where the object or where the craft, to me it's not an object, it was some kind of craft, was at, it looked like they literally, you know, like you would take a cookie cutter and stamp it out of the dough.
Mm-hmm.
And that defined, and there was not, I mean, there's always wind in Chicago, but it stayed like that for a little while, and then just as it, you know, it dissipated into the overcast. Well, the guys in the tower, anybody that's an ATC controller is a different breed, and I don't mean that in any kind of negative way or derogatory way because of the responsibility that they have. But I also was telling Peter that I had explained to me by a very close friend of mine who's a captain with the company I work for, that they're encouraged to be quiet about reporting, and there's even, I believe, a part of an FAR, and I still have not been able to find it, so I do not know if that's 100% accurate, about making reports of the, you know, any kind of nature. So I'm sure the guys in the tower are told that if they see something strange, just to keep doing their job and leave it at that.
In summary, the Haynes Report, which is highly respected in aviation circles, has concluded there was something there. It is unidentified, and it could have been a safety hazard. The question remains, why would a UFO hover over the busiest airport in the world? And then there's the question of, where did it come from? Did it have our technology? Most people seem to think the technology is beyond human ken. I'd like to thank Jane Swartley for production editing on parts of the show, and to Larry Dickin, our executive producer, for his input and helping in putting together the content. Until next time, this is Jerry Pippin. Thank you for listening. Cheers.